Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to All About Entrepreneurs. We're excited that you decided to tune in to the show today. Heard every weekday morning at 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time and 6 a.m. Central Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio. Well, we want you to sit back, get that pen and pencil out. We want you to get ready to take lots of notes. We want you to go to another level in your life because it's all about entrepreneurs. Well, we have exciting guests who will come and teach you the strategies, the tips, the tools for you to be successful at life, at work, at school, and in your business. And now your host, the power coach, Lalisa, and the possibilities coach, Cassandra.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Good morning, good morning, and welcome, welcome, welcome to the show today, where we are excited, 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 and good morning. Well, yes, we have a very, very special guest coming to the show this morning. I know, right? I say that as if we haven't had a special guest coming to the show every morning. So it is going to be a great day. I tell you, this is the day before, thank God, it's Friday. You know, we've set ourselves up for such a great weekend, right? We tell ourselves, oh, thank God, it's Friday. When Friday gets here, you know, all over the country, if not the world, people have what's known as TGIF. Thank God it's Friday. Well, today is Thursday. So today you have my permission to have a TGID. Thank God it's Thursday. You know, that's the truth, really. We thank God for each and every day. No matter what we're going through, no matter what we're feeling like, no matter what awaits us during that day, because we don't know what's going to happen by the end of the day. But we are glad that we have another opportunity, another chance to get it right, another opportunity to love on someone, to forgive someone, to tap into our dreams, our goals, and our purpose. You know, I was listening to a motivational call on yesterday, and the woman was talking about your purpose, and she had such great information. I don't know if any of you were on that call as well, but she had such great information to share. At least one of the speakers was sharing about finding your purpose. And I really like what she said about that, because she said that, a lot of people don't know what their purpose is. And she said, start with the immediate thing that God tells you to do. So in other words, she said, for an example, let's say God tells you to go down the street to the store and purchase 2 bags of groceries and come back and give it to, you know, a neighbor, let's just say, that you know is struggling. Or it could be a family member that you know is struggling. Then just do that. That's your purpose for that moment. That's your purpose at that moment, and that you are developing listening equity with God when you can do that, do those little right now things that He unctions you or tells you to do, and you do them. And then, of course, you know, the bigger things will come later. So, good morning, my awesome co-host. Welcome, Coach Cassandra.
Good morning. Good morning is so awesome.
Good morning. Good morning.
Yes.
It is,
that
I
is
tell
so
you.
Good.
He is awesome. He is so amazing. You know, every day that he gives us another opportunity to get it right. I love the fact that he would, you know, do that for us.
Yes, I am so glad that his mercies are new every morning. And Lord knows, I need new mercies. I don't know about you all. I'm sure the audience will agree. New mercies, you know. There's a song that I used to sing, you know, great is thy faithfulness. Oh, God, my Father. There is I can't remember all the words now, but anyway, it says, you know, that his mercies are new every morning, and I thank God for new mercies, a new opportunity, a fresh start. You know, really, when you think of it, the dawning of a new day signifies a fresh start, a new start, and that whatever happened yesterday, we can leave it yesterday and embrace today. That's what I love about God. You know, he's not into bringing all the baggage in, and he says, you know, when we say, you know, forgive us, that, you know, he leaves it in the sea of forgetfulness, and we say, God, did you remember this room? He says, remember what? You're the one that's remembering, not him. So we learn to be like our daddy. You know, it just makes everything so much better and sweeter. And, you know, I just love the absolute opportunity for a fresh start. That's what this is, a fresh start, a new day. So I am doing great. Thanks for asking. Audience, and we just want you to have an awesome day today. Also, a supercalifragilisticexpialidocious day already, right? It's super, you know, when we say it is, you know, because we can have just what we say. And even if you get up and you're feeling kind of grumpy and you're feeling kind of like, I want to get up, you know, if you just decide, you know, remember that song that Pharaoh was singing, you know, happy, just decide to be happy, happy, happy.
I love that song.
I know, isn't it great?
Oh, I love it. I'm so happy. Yes. Oh, my God. Oh, I feel like a room without a roof. I'm so happy. Yes, that song.
So does that mean if you feel like a room without a roof because all the sunshine is in, is that what that signifies?
I think I don't know, but it just sounds like something to be, it sounds like being, like, you know, there's no limit. You're not boxed in. You're not closed in. Yeah,
awesome.
That's
I love that.
Oh, I love it. It just, you know, it's just happy. You want to just dance all over the place when you hear that song. And he's done such a great job with it, as a young man who sings it, Pharrell, and then a young man at my church sang it on Sunday. Oh, my God. He sang that song. He didn't sing it at church, but we were at a banquet, and he performed it at the banquet, and I thought it was the record, and it was actually a person singing it. I was like, wow. Yeah. So if I could sing, boy, that would be one I'd be singing right about now. I love that song. But you should be happy too, people. You know what? You can find something to be happy about. And I think that's what the song is saying, you know. He said when problems come his way, he stops them. He tells those problems, don't come here. I'm happy. You go somewhere else. Go mess with somebody who's not happy. Don't mess with me. Because I'm too happy for your foolishness. Don't come this way. So,
and you know what? We need to speak to our situations. We need to speak to our problems and say, hey, no, not here. I am not the one. You know, I mean, I know we have to be realistic, but realistically,
you know, you need to tell something that is coming your way and is not beneficial to you. Listen, I am powered up. I know who I am, and I'm kicking negativity, I'm kicking bad thoughts to the curb, and it makes a difference when you decide to take ownership. That's what part of owning your power is all about, taking ownership and releasing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you write about that in your book, Coach. Oh, my gosh. Wow. Yes. Tell them about your book, Release Your Power.
Wow. Well, Release Your Power, and for those of you who are in the New Jersey area, I will be doing a Release Your Power seminar workshop at the God's Confident Women's Conference, and that's happening May the 17th. The conference is 17th and 18th. I will be doing a workshop that Saturday morning at 9:30 a.m. They're going to have breakfast around 8:30, so get there early, and I will be doing the workshop, Release Your Power, but the book empowers people to be all that God would have you to be. It motivates and empowers, it outlines 8 strategies that you can put into place, and then it gives you some steps on how to apply those 8 strategies, and it gives you some examples of what your life will look like if you apply them. So a lot of times people, you know, can need that visual, that picture, and how is this going to work for me? And so it gives you some examples of how it can work for you. And I tell you, it's been a fun ride. Writing the book was fun. Talking about the book at different conferences, walking people through, the book asks the question, do you know who you are? Do you know where you're going? And so it helps people to kind of figure out, what am I doing? You know, what is my life about? What is my, you know, what do I want to be? And it starts with change. The first chapter deals with change, choosing to change. You know, you don't have to stay where you are. You don't have to stay stuck. You don't have to stay pitiful. You know, I used to go to a lot of pity parties. I used to throw a lot of them. I used to throw my own pity party and then be pitiful when no one would show up. So it was just pity all the way around. And I had a pity party for the first, the first 30-something years of my life, up to around age 32. I had nothing but pity. I had the best pity parties anybody ever seen. I actually could have been a pity party planner. The pity party planner.
Oh my gosh, you were too. A pity party planner. Oh my goodness.
I know.
Okay.
They have a TV show called The Wedding Planner. Well, I could have been a pity party planner. I knew how to plan a pity party. I knew what foods to bring, knew how many tears to bring. I knew how sad to sound. I had all the trappings for an awesome pity party, and I did that for years and years. And then it dawned on me. Finally, I had aha moment when I realized that I was so pitiful because I was throwing all these pity parties and inviting myself. I sent myself invitations I couldn't refuse. You know, like I made myself an offer I couldn't refuse. And, you know, eventually I said, wait a minute. If I don't want to, you know, go to the pity party, well, stop throwing it. If you throw a party for yourself, you're bound to go. You know, that's it. I mean, nobody throws a party and then doesn't go to their own party. Hello? You may not go to it. And then on top of it, I was going to other people's parties.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. I would let people call me up with their pitifulness. And, or I'd go over to their house and, oh, Lord, the pity would start. Pitiful.
Oh, my gosh.
Pitiful me. Pity. So,
wow.
The book, Release Your Power and Become Who You Really Are, is that's the subtitle. It lets people know you don't have to be pitiful, okay? Because who you really are is, God says, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. There's nothing pitiful about you, period. Okay?
Oh,
wow. Nothing pitiful about you other than you thinking you're pitiful. That's the only pitiful thing about you, is that you think you're pitiful. That's what's pitiful. That's what,
wow,
I had to learn. That's what I learned. The only pitiful thing about me was that I thought I was pitiful. If you think like a pity, talk like a pity, walk like a pity, well, guess what? Will show up. It's pitifulness. And then here's the thing, too, Coach Cassandra. When you think you're pitiful, because as a man thinketh, so is he. And so as you become pitiful, guess what? Guess how people will see you? They'll see you as pitiful.
Yes, so, yes, absolutely.
So the law of attraction kicks in. Yeah, the law of attraction kicks in. Now you're attracting pitiful people to you.
Oh-wee.
So it just got worse and worse and worse, and then you get like on a downward spiral that you don't know how to get off of. And so here's what I learned about being on a, it's like being on a roller coaster almost, or a merry-go-round. Here's what I learned. The merry-go-round is not going to stop and let you off. I mean, this is a spiritual merry-go-round. It's not the natural one, of course. It stops when they tell it to stop. But you, the supernatural, the merry-go-round is going. It is not going to stop and let you off. So what do you have to do? You have to jump off. You just got to jump off. You got to get off. It's not going to stop. The cycle of pitifulness is not going to say, oh, well, we enjoyed you. We had a great time. Glad you could be with us. But now, go on over there to greatness, to success. No, no, no. It keeps going. That's why it's hard for people to get out of those cycles. It keeps going. You have to get off. You have to just jump off. You just got to wake up one day, or in the middle of the day, or as you're driving down the street, taking the train, taking the bus, getting a ride, walking, whatever you're doing, you got to stop and get off.
Come on now.
Snap your finger. What it takes for you. You know, back in the day, they used to have television shows years ago when I was a little girl, of these little people would come on with their magic tricks or their hypnotism, and they put people in trance, and then they snapped that finger, and you were to wake up. And that's what a lot of people were like. They're like in a trance. And they snap your own finger. I'm giving you permission. Snap your own finger and just wake up. Just come out of it.
That's a great analogy. That is a great analogy, Coach, because I do know when I used to have episodes, and I'm going to call it an episode of being what you call stress, anxiety attacks. I used to have anxiety attacks. And, you know, those things can be, like, addictive. And you have to really fight your way out of those. It was like fighting my way out of a box. I mean, I had to come to a place, and I don't know about you, but I have to talk to myself. And I have to say, listen, we're not doing that. I'm not having it. And of course, I put the word of God on it, but I had to have a talk with myself, like just like you're saying, to get out of it. I had to choose. I had to make a decision. I was not that person. I was not a person who was filled with stress and anxiety. And you know what I had to do? And I recently was listening to Les Brown talk about his daughter suffering from stress and anxiety. And he said, well, what are you listening to? What are you watching? And you know what? We have to guard our ear gates, our eye gates. And that's why I don't watch television. I don't have one. I don't own one. That's my choice. because, number one, I wanted to be so busy living my life out loud, I don't have time for television, soap operas. You know, I want to live my own life. Those people are making money because you're sitting up there watching them, watching reality shows. I was talking to a friend yesterday, and they were like, you know, I had never watched a reality show till the other day. And they said that they're just like soap operas, you know, but they're using, you know, people supposedly living their lives out loud. But she said it was so fabricated, you know, so made up. It wasn't like it was real at all. And, you know, if we would decide just to live our lives, do what those people are doing, you know, go make some money acting, go make some money, you know what I'm saying, doing what you really love to do instead of you sitting up there and you're watching the drama that they're putting on, you know, Days of Our Lives. What about Days of Your Own Life? You know, when do you decide that you are going to take control of your own life? Right, Coach?
That's right.
Hey.
Mm-hmm. Days of Your Life. Absolutely. And, you know, it's so funny when people, those reality shows are so not real. And the fact that they would call them a reality show just shows how they just don't care what they tell us. They just tell us anything. And we believe it. How in the world? We, you know, anyone watching them knows it's not reality. Only a child would think that stuff is reality. A child doesn't know the difference, probably, but any adult knows that nobody acts like that. And so I guess it's a play on words, reality. You know, it ain't reality. So that makes it even more funny. That makes it more funny. But now art, do some of the things imitate life? Sure, because we know art imitates life. So we know that.
Yeah.
So some of it does appear reality, and we do know some of the parts are real. For instance, that show, Sweetie Pie, come on now. If people do really act like that, somebody needs to get locked up. Those people are off the chain on that show. Now,
what's the name of that show again? What's the name of it?
Sweetie Pie.
Oh, that restaurant was right here in St. Louis, Missouri. Did you know that?
The restaurant is real.
Sweetie
I know
Pie,
that.
That's what a lot of people come to St. Louis. That's exactly where they want to go, over to Sweetie Pies. I have been there, and they do have, they have good food.
Great restaurant.
And I have seen the show. I was at someone's house, and they had it on, and I just laughed. I said, my goodness, it's just funny.
It makes you laugh. It's have to do stuff to make you laugh. And most of us, our real lives, wouldn't make anybody laugh. It might make somebody cry.
All right.
But honey, they're making plenty of money.
They're making plenty of money because you're watching that show. And listen, I'm
you
not
got
mad
your own
at them.
Reality.
When it comes to getting my own reality show, I'm going to be laughing all the way to the bank, just like those folks are, okay?
Yes. I know there was one of my favorite reality shows, by the way, was Bobby Brown being, oh, now that I thought was. that was when they first started, though, so he was one of the first ones with one. And I have to admit, I think theirs was more to reality than any of these other shows. I think the shows have gotten off. I believe when Bobby Brown and first did that show, him and Whitney, I really think a lot of that probably was how they really were living. but then it just got, I don't know, they just got more unreal, but funny nonetheless. But hey, but again, if you want to do a reality show, you can do that. You know, release your power, whatever God is, you know, whatever talent, who are you really? You are greatness. That's what the book is. Release the power of God in you. If God wants you to be a doctor, release that power. If God wants you to be, you know, a ballet dancer, release that power. If God wants you to be an author, release whatever God wants you to be, release that power and be that. And don't let the things that have happened to you stop you from being all that God has created you to be. And that's what that message to people. You can be whatever God wants you to be, and you can be whatever He has given you the talents the gifts and the skills to do. And he will bring the people in your life that will help you do it. If there's something you want to, yeah, if there's something you want to, that's how the book talks about that, how none of us could do anything hardly by ourselves. Come on. You can't even be born by yourself. You can't even get here by yourself. You can't even be, you know, it took a man and a woman to get you here. So you can't even get here by yourself. The person that brought you, the person that had you couldn't do it by themselves. That's why some people say, when people use the term single mother, like, how are you a single parent in some kind of way? It's like, no, it was two parents. There was a double parent in the beginning anyway. And so, you got here. It took two people to get you here. Once you get here, it takes someone else to show you how to do everything. Okay? Got to help you out. And people say, you live in a house. Imagine if you had to build that house all by yourself. Wow. I wonder how long that would take you.
Imagine.
You know, imagine that. That bathtub that you take a bath in, I wonder how long it would take you to build that all by yourself. You know, and, you know, this is how we can think about it. Some knowledge that you have, or say you have a degree in accounting, or I wonder how long it would take if you had to go and learn all that by yourself and know what to study. And so we can look at it in any, this telephone that you're on right now. Many of you have dialed in. You dial 347-945-7991. Imagine if you had to make that phone by yourself. How many people even know where to begin? I wouldn't. My phone breaks and I have to take it in somewhere to get it fixed. I wouldn't know what to do to fix it, even let's alone make one. So, and so the book kind of breaks that down just a little bit, you know. But to really make it clear to people, we need other people to do things, and it's okay. Because sometimes people get trapped in, you know, they don't want to get help from other people. Why? Why not? You need help from other people. Yeah, we need help from other people every single day. Every single day.
He set it up that way. He is into fellowship. He's into, he said in the multitude of counselors, their lives safety. So he wants us to come together. He wants us to reason together. And, you know, it's about being with the right people, with the right tribe. That's what it has to do with, you know, finding the people that are positive, like you're positive, or, you know, if you want to be a nurse, hang out with nurses. You want to be a teacher, hang out with teachers. Whatever you're striving to be, there's someone you can get with that can assist you along the way. And that's why it's great, always great to find a good coach or a mentor. They are going to assist you in what you're trying to do. And so, you know, sometimes people have a hard understanding of that because they think they're supposed to do everything by themselves. You know, and God didn't set it up like that. He always, always is into fellowship, you know, in every area. And even when you start with a company, you know, some of the companies, they will pair you up with someone that can mentor you on a new job, or someone will assist you because they know you need help. We all need help. We didn't need help. You know, God wouldn't have put other people on the earth to assist you. So,
exactly.
You know, they're go for it.
I know, right? He would have put, he would have just left Adam and Eve all to themselves. And so we are so excited that, you know, we get an opportunity to work with so many powerful and dynamic people all around the country and around the world. And we get to do it right here through Blog Talk Radio. So we, as a coach, you know, one of the things that we like to do to help people as a coach is to help people, what I always strive to do is to help people fulfill their dreams. That's, you know, that's like always in the backdrop of my mind whenever I work with a client, is what's your dream? What do you want to do? Because that's what somebody did for me. Someone helped me when I didn't know what I wanted to do, when I was not clear of what I wanted to do. And that's one of the, that's like a little feeling that sits with you that just doesn't sit well when you want to do something, but you're not clear. It's like, just imagine not being able to see clearly. And you have energy, maybe you even have some funds, you have some time on your hands to do it, but you're not clear. And I think that's one of the biggest gifts that coaching can give to its clients, is that ability to get clarity, to get clear with the strategies that we use, with the assessments that we have. And when you walk away from something, you're clear about what it is God has called you to do, and you're clear about your next move and your next move and your next move, you just walk in such peace and power. You know, you're really releasing your power when you are clear, and therefore you're not shaken by what's going on around you that may not map or line up with your destiny. Right? That's why you can, at that point, you can almost go anywhere and be around anybody, because you're clear about where you're going and you're clear about who you are and whose you are. You're absolutely clear. So it's a great, getting some coaching is a great way. I think that's one of the bigger, or in my mind, a greater benefit to that coaching is that clarity, getting clear. Because, again, who wants to be going around in a circle only to look up 10 years later or 20 years later with a whole bunch of, I wish I could have, would have, should have, when you could have and you should have and you would have had you just taken the time to sit for a short time, possibly with a coach. Now, some people think that, well, couldn't I do that with my therapist? Couldn't I do that with, my best friend? Well, I don't know. How's it working so far if you have a best friend? Has your best friend been able to help you get that clarity? Has your therapist helped you? Well, first of all, a therapist has a different goal of why they're helping you, different mission, different purpose, right? And another way you can probably tell a big difference between these days anyway, between a therapist and a coach, the fees. The therapist fees are very expensive, and you're not going to talk them down from their fee, okay? Whereas with a therapist, number one, they go get these college degrees that cost them thousands of dollars, all right? And somebody's going to help pay for that college loan or whatever, however they pay for that degree. And the fees are going to be very expensive, and they're more medicinal, they're more medical, okay? A therapist. A coach is not going to prescribe any medication for you. They're not going to suggest any medication, right? Right? And so there are some big differences. And they're in therapists, they tend to look back into your past, so to speak, to kind of figure out what got you to this, if you're in a messy kind of place or a stuck kind of place or whatever, to kind of looking back to see what got you stuck. And that's all fine and good, but there's no real guarantee that that's going to get you unstuck. It may just keep you coming to them. And I love therapists. I have nothing. No, I mean, they do what they do, and they're good at it, and they need to be doing that. But people come to coaching. I just wanted to say that people come to coaching for something totally different. So you go to a therapist to figure out what happened in your past that has you locked up. You don't go to a coach for that, okay? You go to a coach to find out, how do I get to my future? You go to the therapist to figure out what happened in my past that won't let me, do this or do that, right? You go to a coach to because you come to the realization that just like so-and-so got there, I can get there too. I just don't know how. You know, that something like that. So, you know, those, because I know a lot of people who are new to coaching, and they have no clue as to what coaching is. I mean, they think of basketball coach. They think of a swim coach. Maybe they even think of a football coach, basketball coach, soccer coach, baseball coach, because you hear that all the time on television. Maybe they think of a voice coach or an acting coach, and those are all great. Those are all coaches as well. But this life coaching, right, that's something now that's something different that a lot of people are not sure as to what a coach is, what a coach does. And or some people are coaches and they're not sure why they're a coach, what they're supposed to do, and not always having so much success with their clients. So that's a good reason to contact us, because we can help you with those things. And if you have a question today, like you may have a question about coaching, you may have a question about what we're doing, you can just hit your number one key if you on the line. If you've dialed in 347-945-7991, you're on the line, you just hit your number one key, and I will definitely open up your phone line, and you can ask your question or make your comment. Maybe you're a coach, and you have another take on it. Maybe your training, and all the training, all the coach training tells you this, so it's not like you're going to have you can have another idea, that's fine, but it's not going to be too far from what we've just said, because all the coach training schools will basically tell you the same thing, and maybe in a different way. So I'm going to open up. Oh, everyone, some of you haven't met a third party to the hosting team of All About Entrepreneurs. And he is our associate host, Mr. Fred Brooks. So, Mr. Fred.
Hey,
Fred.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning.
Hey, Superman.
It's a wonderful morning. The sun is out. My sky is blue, and the sun is out, and everything's great.
All right.
Loving the conversation you're having, especially about what is coaching. I think a lot of people get that confused. Even, I didn't hear you touch on mentor, so I'm going to throw a little bit about a mentor in there, because sometimes people believe coaching is like having a mentor. And it isn't, because a mentor, just in real simple form, a mentor says, here's my expertise. Let me take you to where I am and make you as good as I am. Whereas a coach says, let me walk alongside of you and make you the best you can be, even if it surpasses who I am. So the difference between a mentor and a coach.
Yes, absolutely. That's a great analogy. Great analogy.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely.
Wow. You know what? Even I hear some of the world's best in the country talking about their mentors. I heard Lisa Nichols recently, who has over six bestsellers, been on the New York bestseller list, and she speaks all over the country, all over the world, and she says, I have a coach. She says, how do you think I got where I am today? She said, because I am constantly wanting to perfect who I am, because we are practicing perfection. You know what I'm saying? We are practicing, you know, being the best that we can be. And we all need help with that. You know, I have a coach.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure you guys have coaches. We need help. And there's nothing wrong with saying I need help. I think it's a proud person who feels like they don't need anybody to help them. I have not arrived. I am on my way, but I have not arrived. We need to remember that. This is a process. Right? Right? Is that how you guys feel, Fred?
Right. Absolutely.
Absolutely. One of the greatest examples is Christ. Christ had disciples who walked alongside of him. He didn't walk alone.
Come on now.
Yes. Back to you.
No, somebody said once that we're the already, but not yet, you know. We're on our way, absolutely. And, you know, so when we look at why people come to coaching, and we look at, and again, something that we do for ourselves, something that we come to realize that, you know what, I can get there a lot faster. Sure, I could probably, like I said, try to build the house on your own. Tell me how that works for you. How long will it take? I don't know. But you could build it a whole lot faster if you get somebody to help you. One or two people, well, it still might take a minute. But with coaching, so sure, you can figure it all out. But how much time do you want it to take? Same thing, same reason why people sometimes go to college or whatever. They can get that degree a lot. Sure, you can go to the library and sit there for years and years and years and read and learn everything that you could learn in a 4-year degree. Okay? But the degree makes it succinct. They've already pulled out the books. They've pulled out the main topics from the chapters, and they've rolled it up for you so you can get it in 4 years and you're good, right? Or 6 years or whatever long, however long you want. And that's the same thing with working with a coach. You're going to get there so much faster because why? We're trained. We're trained to, like Fred was saying yesterday, we're trained to help you with sabotaging words, sabotaging voices. One of the books that we had to study in my coaching program is the book that deals with gremlins. Well, before studying that course, before taking my course, I didn't really know what a gremlin was.
Right? Uh-huh.
After taking the course and the part of the course with that book, How to Tame Your Gremlins. And let me tell you, powerful book. I used it ever since. I use it, with my clients. And I use, parts of it. And so all these different sabotaging voices. And then the topic of limiting beliefs. If I had known about limiting beliefs when I was 16, let's just say, or at least 18 even, when I was 23, if I had known about limiting beliefs when I was 23, my life, I know it would be different from what it had been. Okay, maybe not so much different today, but it would have been different from all the things I had to go through because I was living limiting beliefs every single day of my life. I believed that I couldn't go to college. I believed that I couldn't be successful. I had all these limiting beliefs. I believed that black people didn't get degrees and poor people out of the ghetto didn't get. I had all these limiting beliefs about myself. And then when I was 32, when I tore off every limiting belief, and I walked and signed up for that first course. But to know which beliefs are blocking us, that's the work of coach. A coach can help you discover what beliefs are stopping you and help you to work past those beliefs. And some other training that we get as coaches will help you get to the root of those beliefs or those sabotaging messages.
That's good, Coach. Yeah, that is awesome because sometimes people don't even realize that they may have some sense. But listen, if you keep getting stuck in the same thing, that speaks to you needing help. That it speaks to you, you're in something that you can't figure out how to get out of by yourself. What do you think about that, Fred? You find people with limiting beliefs that, you're able to help them get unstuck as a coach to help them go to the next level?
Absolutely. By facing their fears. And the Bible talks about fears. We know fear is not of God. And one thing you talk about in limiting beliefs is fear. And I always make a comparison between fear and faith. You can't have both. It's one or the other.
That's good. I was just thinking, I heard the other day Creflo Dollar talk about you're either practicing fear. You're fueling your fear, or you're fueling your faith. And you know what? If you will practice listening to yourself talk, you can tell when you're in faith and you can tell when you're in fear. And because I have learned to identify when I'm in faith or when I'm in fear, I can hear it out of other people. And sometimes people are talking, and I'll say, you know, that's very negative. That's very fear-driven conversation. And some people actually will get upset with you when you identify, you know, that they're talking negative. When someone's telling you, you know, you can't do it, and, you know, you're no good, and, you know, because all those people in that race, they blah, blah, blah. I tell people, don't say that. I don't like to hear black people say it about black people. I don't like to hear white people say it about white people. We are the human race. We must decide as a people, no matter what your color is, that we can do more, that we can be more. I don't buy into, you know, just putting a flat, you know, seal of, you know, like sealing the coffin, you know, all people of this race, they blah, blah. No, I don't buy into that. Absolutely, because I'm part of the human race, so I'm not going to buy. Now, constructive criticism, that's different. But if I'm just talking a bunch of, I can't do it, I can't make it, I don't know what they're doing, they're going to come over here and destroy us, you know, it's like, my God, the sky is not falling. Falling. Cut it out, knock it off. And when you help identify someone speaking fear and doubt and unbelief, they get upset. Well, that's just how I talk. I always talk like that. But there's another way to talk. But you have to practice. And I heard Les Brown talk about that. You have got to mentally decide to make your mentality, you know, fuel it with good nourishment. Just like if you're pregnant, you shouldn't be drinking, you shouldn't be smoking, you shouldn't be doing drugs. We know people do that. But if you want a healthy baby, you want to give it the best optimal opportunity to live a healthy, productive life, you're reading good books to that baby. You're feeding it good nutritional food, vegetables, vitamins. And the same thing as a person. I am feeding my soul, my mind, my spirit when I choose to read the Bible, when I choose to read books on positive affirmations, books by John Maxwell and many others that are very positive and motivational. So that's the key, folks. What are you feeding your baby? The purpose in you, what are you feeding it? Are you hanging around with folks that can help birth that baby into the best possible environment? So, you know, when you get pregnant with purpose, you have got to be around people who will help facilitate that baby to be the best that it can be. What do you guys think about that?
I agree with you. Yes. I totally agree.
I agree. And you know what? There is no reason that you can be as successful as you want to. You take that leap. I love to see on the teleshow, Mr. Steve Farber talked about that radical leap. Oh, my God. When I said, listen, leap into it. So, you got to be a leaper. Just a leap. Take that leap into success. You can do it. You can do it. I know you can do it. And we want to show you how. We want to show you how to do it. If you don't know how to do it, that's all right. You know how many things I didn't know how to do, or Coach Cassandra didn't know how to do, or Coach Fred didn't know how to do. You know what? But we don't let that stop us. And here's the trick. Here's a big secret. It's a little known secret, rather. Few people know this, Coach Cassandra, Coach Fred. Few people know this. You got to get around the right people. That is critical. I can't stress it enough. I cannot. I'm sorry. You cannot be around people that tear you down, tear down your spirit, tear down your ideas or your thoughts. You have to get away from them. Now, We all understand that haters can be our motivators. Yes, yes. We all know that he'll prepare. We all know that he'll prepare a table in front of us in the presence of our own enemy. Yeah, yeah. But he's preparing that table in front of them. They ain't sitting at the table.
All
they
right.
Just watch, they what? Just watch. He's just in front of them. They can see it. Yeah, you ain't sitting there eating with them. Listen. Now, yeah, they're going to be your footstool. Yeah, they're going to be your footstool, but that's because God wants you to kick back with your feet up. I love that. He said, I'll make your enemies your footstool. Just kick back. Go ahead, do it. Whatever chair or sofa you're sitting on right now, hopefully not driving. But if you are, just pull over for a moment. Pull over to the side. It's okay. You're on the bus, train, just kick back. Put your feet up. Even if you're in bed, you're laying there listening to the show. I know some people do that. Just put a pillow under your feet and kick your feet up. See, God wants you relaxing. He wants you. He's out of make somebody your footstool, you know, and think about that. That means your feet are up, kicked back, and that's what we have that visual with that. But, yeah, but you got to get around the right people. You got to get around people that are going somewhere, doing something. And let me tell you, don't think you're going to have a whole bunch of friends now when you're doing that, because there are not a whole lot of people who have that type of mindset. See, the crowd of people are usually the ones all doing the crazy stuff, the negative stuff. Typically, there's just one or two that are thinking more positive. But the more you hang around, that, like say, for instance, if you're positive and you hang around one other positive person, well, that one positive person got their one positive friend. Now it's three of you. Then that person got their one positive. So there is a multiplier effect once you do. But it's the one by one by ones. It ain't the 10 by 20s by 30s. All right?
All right. So
that's how people develop those mastermind groups. If you notice, the majority of those groups don't have more than 10 people in them. Because you'd be hard-pressed. You'd be hard-pressed to find 10 people. Here, listen to me. You, Coach Cassandra, Coach Fred, if you're listening, you'll be hard-pressed to find 10 people that want you a mega millionaire or super flat-out success. Now, that's your assignment. Go find 10 people that want you super successful. Here's the test of how you can tell if they want it or not. Here's the test of how you can tell if that person meets that criteria. See if you can see how easy it is to sit down with them and have a conversation about how successful you're going to be.
All right.
How many people will sit and listen to you talk about how successful and how you're going to blow up? I can guarantee, I can already tell you, but I want you to do the assignment for yourself and go and report back to me. And start with your spouse if you have one. Start with the people that are closest to you. You ain't even got to go like way down the street. Start with your own family members and start telling them about how you're going to blow up. And keep in mind, it's just a test. You're just doing a little research project. Look at what happened to Joseph when God himself gave Joseph a dream about Joseph blowing up, and he went and told his brothers who were out in the field. Now, keep in mind where they was when he went and told them.
Wow.
They were out working in the hot sun. They didn't want to hear that. So that's why your groups tend to be small when you begin to live your dream. You're not going to have a whole bunch of people. That's why some people used to say back in the day, they used to have a little saying that said it's lonely at the top. Because as they were going up, fewer and fewer people was able to stand it. You know, people can handle you well when you're broke and you're small. They love it. When you start blowing up, they start scattering. So I don't know. That's my take on it. You, Coach Cassandra, you or Coach Fred might have your own take on it, but that's my little assignment to the people.
All right. Take it away, Fred.
Yes. Absolutely. In Proverbs, for our Christian-centered folk who are out there listening who say, I hang around the church people, so she's not talking to me. But in Proverbs, it tells us that bad morals, hanging around with people with questionable morals, will corrupt good people. And sometimes as Christians, we believe, well, I'm hanging around with the Christians, but we know that their morals are bad in some areas, and we still insist on hanging around them. And that you're asking for your value and your morals to be brought down by hanging around those people. Your values get skewed, so to speak. And as coaches, we help facilitate people learning about their values and how to honor their values. Most people think values are morals, but values are not your morals. Values are more about who you are as a person. And when you work with a coach can help you to clarify your values. And when you clarify your values, it helps you to find purpose. And when you work within your purpose and values, you have a fulfilling life. So that's something that we don't learn as children, and we don't learn from school. We learn to follow the values and the movement, so to speak, of our peers and of society. Coaching teaches you how to walk to the tune of your own drum, so to speak, and the one that Christ has purposed for you in your life, so that your life is fulfilled not only for you but through Christ, which will bring about value, peace, joy. So if you're looking for those things, you have to go on a value search. Mm. But you have to know how to find those, and a coach can help you do that. Back to you all.
Good point, Fred. Great point. So, yes. Well, we are glad you're tuned in, and I know that some of you are tuned in expecting to hear from our guest, but she had a previous engagement that conflicted with this show that was a little mix-up there. But we'll bring her back on another day, Ms. Devon M. Moody Graham. We'll get her back on. Remember what happened last week when we thought we were going to have Bishop Larry on a particular day. He didn't come. But boy, oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. Woo-wee. When he did come. So, woo. Every time I think about that, that was on Monday. If you missed Monday's show, you need to go back and listen to it. So when he did come. And that's another thing, too, Coach Cassandra and Coach Fred. One of the things I do is I learned how to flow. One of my biggest gifts that I get, or training, I say, gifts from God and training from my mother, Barbara Branson, that woman, woo-lee, she knew how to flow. And you know, because we pick up stuff from our parents, right? No matter what they try to teach us, we learn on our own. And she never set me down and said, all right, well, Lisa, I'm going to teach you how to flow. This is flow step one, flow step two, flow. No, but just through my life, just watching how she flowed in and out of, you know, good marriages, bad marriages, being on welfare, having a job, being in ministry, being out of it, you know, just the things that she flowed in and out of and the way she did it. You know, flowing is about your attitude. What makes you flow is an attitude where, you know, like things don't, you know, bend you out of shape, so to speak. That's how I see it anyway. I don't know, you guys might have a different take on it, but so we flow. Whatever's going on, we just flow with it. I know that got me in trouble as a kid. That got me in trouble as a youth because when we're going to skip school, I just flow with it, you know.
Right.
Sometimes
Coach,
flow.
Coach, my internet is down, and so I'm stepping out of the studio just for a minute, so just want you guys to take it. All right.
All right, all
okay.
right. So, go ahead, Fred.
I wanted to bring up a particular place in coaching that's really coming alive, and that's the area of Christian coaching. You know, with us being Christians, a lot of times I've noticed in the church that if you go to someone at times, they may say, well, I have someone who helps me do that, Deacon so-and-so or a spiritual partner that's helped discipling me, or, and they don't see a difference between discipling and coaching. But discipleship is more focused than mentoring or coaching. Discipleship centers around teaching people biblical truths and spiritual disciplines to more or less to newer or lesser, more less mature believers. You know, when you're talking about Christian coaching, you're talking about a practice of guiding people and enabling individuals or groups to move from where they are, just like coaching, to where God wants them to be. You know, you don't discount, we don't discount their goals, their aspirations, their gifts that God has given them, or any of them, because we know those come from God. But as a Christian coach, Christians can be learn to be encouraged to find God's vision for their lives and to move from following their own agenda to pursuing God's purposes. That's the difference between a coach, a Christian coach, and someone who's just discipling you. You know, so a lot of Christians, when you know, if you believe that you can't use a coach, that's different. You can use a coach. And I like to use a metaphor. So here's one I've heard that pertains to God. When a surfer is surfing, you know, on the ocean, and he sees a good wave, they make the most of it. Even if it means that they're surfing in the middle of a storm. If a storm comes up, they see a good wave, they go for the wave. It doesn't matter the storm. Okay? As a Christian coach, our job with Christians in that sense is to recognize the wave of God's Spirit and to ride it. Okay? So we help people discern what God is doing in the world and in their lives, and we come alongside of them and help them find their calling as part of God's agenda. So we ride the waves that God is building, and we help our Christian clients ride those waves also, ride the waves of the Spirit. So that's a, you know, I had to mention that because a lot of times Christians are a little resistant to coaching because they believe they're already being discipled, and there's a big difference. Back to you, Coach.
Yeah, that's good. That's good that you broke down that difference between being discipled and being coached, as in Christian coaching. And, yes, it is one of the hot coaching topics out there. And as we tell people in our coaching school, because I do have a coaching school, where we train people how to be a coach. And part of the training does go over all that. There's as many as there are people, there's that many types of coaching, really, you could do. There's many different types, whether it's, you know, health coaching, wellness coaching, Christian coaching, speech coaching, book writing coaching. I mean, you could get coaching.
So you've got
but again,
one of them? You've got one of them?
A Christian coach?
Coaching schools?
I do, yes.
What do you do, Baylor?
I have a coach training school. I train people to be coaches, and then at the end of the training period, they will get their coaching certificate that they can go and show anyone and say they've been trained on all of the, like, about 15 different skill sets that coaches need. And once they graduate from the training program, they will be able to also take part in coaching professional development. So coaches need to continue to develop themselves even after they become a certified coach. You still have to sharpen your skills. You still want to come network and be around other coaches, best practices, learn from one another. And it's a fun industry. I love the coaching industry.
So, Lisa, I have a question with that. Suppose I don't want to be a coach, but I just want to learn some transferable skills, some the way to communicate better with my family, be
sure.
A better mother, be a better father, maybe tell my boss some things to do, you know, because he's pretty bossy and he may need some coaching. But if I could just get some different skills, what other skill sets could I learn from your school, even if I don't want to be a coach, that's transferable in the world?
Oh, absolutely. Well, there's the listening skill, the interpersonal skill, the communication skill. There's the intuitive skill. There's the way to ask questions skill. So there's a lot of different skills that you can use in the workplace. There's a self-management skill. There's so many that you can learn, that you can transfer to your workplace, even to your relationship. Once you learn these basic coaching, you're going to have a better marriage. My coaching training has helped my marriage tremendously. It's helped my marriage tremendously. Understanding what I want first and foremost, and then, you know, before I start trying to tell my spouse what, you know, he wanted, what he should be doing. So it helped me to know what I'm doing for myself. It gives you more confidence on the job, a big help. Oh, my God. So on the job, a lot of times we're waiting for a supervisor or a mentor or someone to groom us or to help us climb that corporate ladder or to make those career advancements. Well, when you know the skills of coaching, you can help yourself. You can coach yourself. As a matter of fact, one of the courses that I developed that's currently running at Essex County College is called Coaching, the New Career Skill. Well, coaching itself, coaching is a skill that just like a person before they get the job, they may want the skill of, you know, they want to be able to communicate effectively. Maybe they want the skill of being able to speak in public or some other skill. Even if you want a more computer skills, you want to be better at using Microsoft Office, that's a skill. Well, coaching is becoming a new skill, so I'm teaching people how to use coaching in their everyday workplace with themselves or with your staff. Or you could actually turn it into a function at your company that you can offer. So I show people how that looks and what they should say to their supervisor. You may already be on the job. You may be able to find yourself a new niche within your company. You may not have to quit after all. You may be able to build yourself a role there as the company coach. And it, by the way,
saying that. So if my company's about to downsize, and I think that Tommy, if I could create a job in the company that's purposeful for that company, which coaching could do, because coaching is reasonably inexpensive, right?
It doesn't take a lot of money to start.
So I can learn something that can create a job in my company and make me more valuable.
It's make you way more valuable because we'll show you how to tie it to the value. Part of my training has been to show people how to tie things to the value of the company, what the company values. It's just like in a marriage.
Okay. I heard you talk about the marriage earlier. You said it has helped your marriage. You know, in relationships, you know, I keep buying all these self-help books and the Steve Harvey book and this book and that book, and I read them, but it don't seem to – I read them, and it's good reading, but the action part, I don't seem to be able to put it into practice. And so it's good temporarily, you know, when I'm reading. But you're telling me if I learn some of these coaching things and become part of my life, that I can have better relationships?
Absolutely. Are you kidding? Oh, yeah. Because, first of all, you're going to know who you really are. So, therefore, you're not going to waste time in a relationship when you know you don't really want one. So that's the first thing, is knowing who you are and what you want. Either you're going to marry someone or you're not. You're not going to be in some long-term engagement unless you're 15. We're not telling people 15 to run off and marry the first person that comes your way. You ought to be engaged for a few years, even if you're 20-something. But people who are in their 30s and their 40s, who are in a long-term, now it's one thing if you're just dating the person you all are not, you know, cohabitating together, that's one thing. But if you are sleeping together, if you're living as married people, okay, then you should be married. That's my opinion. Because you're robbing yourself of really going to the next level. You'll do things, but you won't be able to go to higher levels. And if you do, and God forbid, something happens, now there's going to be a lot of challenges. All right? But marriage, actually, people think marriage is bondage. But marriage actually is freedom. It's freedom. And that's the enemy's trick to make people think it's bondage. But it's actually freedom. And I know this sounds very opinionated. But people who aren't doing it, you can just tell me how it's working for you. I'm just showing you, you know, what I know. I didn't get married till I was 32. I've been married now 24 years. So it's not like I've been married since I was 18 and that's all I know. No, I got married at 32. And prior to getting married, I had a series of dating, boyfriend relationships, live-in, whatever you want to call it. So I know how that works. And then I met my husband, and less than 18 months, we were married.
Wow.
You know, we didn't date for no 3-4. We didn't live together no 5 years, and then finally get to the altar. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. You do you. But just tell me how it's working for you and what you're getting out of it. Now, am I saying when we got married, we didn't have any problems? Of course we had problems. But because we were married, we decided that we would honor the commitment that we made, which is all it takes. We honored the commitment to work it out. Because remember, we stood before the preacher and we said, for better or for worse. So that just translates to a work it out. There's going to be some betters and there's going to be some worses. But anyway, so yeah, but it's about coaching. But I wasn't coaching when I first got married. So had I knew the coaching skills, I would have had the first 10 years of my marriage would have been much better. But I didn't know. So when you first get married, sometimes there's this piece of the marriage that both people want to be right. You know, the man wants to be right, the woman wants to be right. In most marriages, not all of them. But a lot of marriages go through that. You have to find that some people start right out with compromise. They compromise in the dating, they work through all that. But even if you're dating for a while, you still got to deal with that. Who's going to be right on what and when? You have to work that out. Because it's natural for people to want to be right. There's nothing wrong with that. And it works fine when it's just you because you don't have anyone you have to argue with. But when you come together with somebody, now you either can always be right or they cannot always be right unless you two think just alike. In that case, it'll work out that way. If you both think alike on everything, then you won't have any issues. But when you have people who have some differences, and you'll know that by looking at people's backgrounds. I tell people before you get married, go check out his mom and daddy. You need to check out her mom and daddy. And you'll have some ideas of what, because people in the dating phase, they're only going to show people their best. That's human nature, to show people our best. Nobody's going to go to somebody and say, here's all my dirty laundry, here's all my horribleness, here's all the messes I've made in my life, I want you to help me clean them up. Most people don't do that. But if you meet people's families, a lot of people, they're like, oh, I don't want to meet their family right away. Well, if I were you, I would meet that family immediately. Okay? You want to see what people were like. That's like back in the day, you would go to the person's home and meet their parents. You know, you need to have some, well, that in that case, if the parents wanted to check out the person, but you need to go check out the, go see what that person, because I mean, no, seriously, you know, somebody crazy running around there, you might be like, But it helps you to not be caught off guard. And again, coaching would just, I would think just would help, you know, you bring out, it would just help you be for real. And being familiar with the relationship, being for real is always better than being a fake.
Absolutely.
You know.
Absolutely.
So.
And another way that coaching can help, I'm thinking of a term in coaching. When we're talking about relationships or marriage, one of the things we learn in coaching is how to design an alliance. So what that means basically that when we co-labor is the word I always use because God co-labors with us. So I always tell my clients that I'm going to co-labor with them, come aside them, and walk with them, not over them, not above, not below, but walk with them along this journey. So when we co-labor, it's the same thing in coaching is designing the alliance. So what happens there is the client grants power to the alliance. The client says, I'm ready to do everything necessary. I'm going to take responsibility for my part in this. And out of their ownership in that alliance, the client begins to be supportive, affording the actions of this alliance toward the goals and the vision. So, Fred, what did you just say? What I just said was, when you learn this principle in coaching and you're in a marriage, you learn that when you get married, you come together as an alliance. And when you have the correct communication processes, you talk to each other, you grant power to each other in the marriage, the other person starts to take responsibility for their actions and ownership of the marriage because you've designed this alliance. Each of you becomes supportive of forwarding the actions of your marriage. The plans and things that you plan out for your marriage and your relationship, you take responsibility for those because you started that alliance. A lot of people get married and they assume. And when you assume, you have two people coming together in a marriage that have totally different backgrounds most of the time and have seen different forms of marriage and have different ideas. If you just come together and get married and you have a fairy tale of what it's supposed to happen, usually that doesn't happen. But when you can come together and form an alliance and you can talk to each other, make plans and actions, then you'll see the togetherness that you're looking for. You can sort of forward the action of the marriage and move it forward and have a successful marriage just like you wanted when you planned it. So that's one of the skills in coaching, just a general skill that we learn about taking on a client and coming alongside them to work as a team. You learn that same team building that you can apply in your marriage or in your relationship or in a relationship with your boss. Or if you are a boss, you learn to take that same alliance principle and apply it to your workers. Your workers believe that you've come alongside of them, you're now working in unity together, and they're more likely to work for the company, against the company, because they feel connected to it. So, just other ways that the principles of coaching can be beneficial in your life, even if you're not a coach. Back to you, Coach Lisa.
Awesome. That's a great point to bring out, that coaching definitely can be a part of your repertoire of skill sets, a part of your professional development, a part even of your personal development. Again, and because it's so inexpensive, relatively, coaching is very inexpensive compared to other things that we do to ourselves. I mean, just even say, go get your hair cut, go get your nails done, go buy, you know, that, some of that stuff is a lot more expensive than getting coaching, you know, going to a day spa, going to an amusement park. These are all fun things, and these are great things. So, therefore, we just have to put coaching into our budget. That's all. We probably need to budget Nista on. We'll get her on another show, and she can tell us maybe, you know, how to budget for the coaching. It's not something you can do. It's not something you want to do without anybody who really wants to move forward. Anybody who really wants to have great success, and we all should want to have great success because God has told us that we can. He's made it available to us. He's made it possible. He's encouraged us. You know, Joshua 1 and 8, he says, I give you the gospel of good success. But we should want to be successful. Jeremiah 29 and 11, I know the plans I have towards you, plans to prosper you, to give you hope and a future. God has a plan for you to prosper. That's his plan. That's what he wants for us, you know. He gives us, he said that if we delight ourselves in him, he gives us the desires of our hearts. So we have all these desires to be, do this, do this, do that. Well, God has given it to us, and he'll give us the provisions to make it happen. So coaching is just something that God allows, you know, allows us to do, and you'll know which coach is the right one for you. Yes.
Absolutely. And a lot of times we hear people say, you know, we hear this a lot about the cost of coaching. But the bottom line is this, you know, and it is a coaching question. You know, coach, you learn to ask the correct question. So here's the correct question to someone who says, well, I don't have the money for coaching. Well, my question is all to them is always, well, what do you have money for? And they said, I don't have time to exercise. Well, what do you have time for?
Mm-hmm.
And it makes a person think and take responsibility for their actions. What do I have money for? You know, I have money for shoes. I have money for getting my hair done. I have money to go out. But I don't have money to invest in myself. It makes one think. Absence of coaching, it takes you to a different level. You think of what do you have money for? Well, I have money for everything else but not coaching. Well, what does that say to you? Does that say that you don't have time to invest in yourself, but you can invest in things that are temporary? You're not as important as buying a new pair of shoes?
Well,
come
yeah. And here's the thing. What you can do is most coaching you can get for free. So you can find out what it's about without having – it's not like you can't go to some place and say, well, let me just have a free one. You know, I'll try that out. You know, you can't when you're ready to buy a house. Well, let me just – can I just, you know, live in the house for free for a while to see if I like it? No, right? Unless you're living with your parents. That was your free experience to see if you liked living there or there or there. But coaching, you can do it for free. We give out free consultation. We give out free sessions all the time. So you can see if you like it. All right? So guess what? We are out of time, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you, Coach Fred. We'll see you back for Thank God.
Okay.
Continue to post on My Christian Social Network. That's mycsn.org. It is the Christian Facebook. So make sure you go over there and set those pages. I need some friends on there. I need all my friends to set up your page on mycsn.org, My Christian Social Network. Thank you all for tuning in, for listening. Coach Cassandra, thank you. If she was here, she would tell everybody to have a supercalifragilisticexpialidocious day, baby. And we got to teach you how to say that, Fred. So we want you practicing. I want you to be ready. You got to do the baby part. See, that's what we're going to work with you. Don't worry.
Baby.
Uh-oh, look at that. Watch out, y'all. Watch out. But we want you ready to go with that tomorrow. We want you to say that nice and loud. And I just jump right in. Everyone, peace. Be blessed. Enjoy. Clear your sky. It's whatever you want it to be.
Have a great day, y'all.
That's right. There's no stopping you now. Well, thank you for tuning in to another segment of All About Entrepreneurs. Don't forget, stop by our website, www.blogtalkradio.com/allaboutentrepreneurs, and visit us on the web at www.release-your-power.com. Like our friend page on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter, twitterandfacebook.com/CoachLalisa. If you would like to get in touch with one of the entrepreneurs or one of the guests that you've heard on the show, please send us a request on Facebook or on Twitter or right here on Blog Talk Radio. Well, if you're not an entrepreneur yet, I don't know what you're waiting for. Go out and make it happen. Again, we'll see you tomorrow, same time, same place, for another exciting episode of All About Entrepreneurs. Stay tuned for our conferences, our seminars, and our webinars where you can get further trained as you develop just what you are and just what you want to do. Again, this has been Coach Lalisa J. Williams. Moving, moving, moving.